How many of you ever been to a Dale Carnegie course? Let me see your hand. Dale Carnegie, How to Win Friends and Influence People, or How to Win Back the Friends You've Influenced, or whatever it is, you know. Well, there's some good things in the Dale Carnegie course, and we're going to practice one of them right now. We're going to practice a little yell that they use at the Dale Carnegie course. You're going to help me out now. And here's the way it goes. It goes, act enthusiastic and you'll be enthusiastic. You got that? All right, let's warm up to it now. Now, I'll tell you what we'll do. We'll start out trying it three times. Are you ready? All right, here we go. Act enthusiastic and you'll be enthusiastic. Act enthusiastic and you'll be enthusiastic. Act enthusiastic and you'll be enthusiastic. Say, that sounds pretty good. I believe we can do all right with that. You ever have any Jesus yells around this country? Huh? You ever have any Jesus yells? Well, I'll tell you what, let's work one up a little. You know, let's see if we can't loosen up. This crowd's a little tight anyway. You know that one, give me a J? You know that one? All right, let's go. Give me a J.
J.
Give me an E.
E.
Give me an S.
S.
Give me a U.
U.
Give me an S.
S.
Jesus.
Jesus.
Jesus. Jesus. Amen. We're warming up. We're doing pretty good. Now, you know, in the first century, the Christians had condensed their faith, as we said last night, to three words, Jesus is Lord. Now, the Roman government did not particularly care for that. And so they came up with the opposite, and their yell was, Caesar is Lord. And they'd get these big bunches together, you know, and they'd have these yells. And the guy who was leading it, he'd be the general, you know, and he'd say, is Caesar Lord? And the people would holler back, Caesar is Lord, except not the believers. They'd holler back, Jesus is Lord. You think you can remember that? I'm going to play the part of the Russian general. The Roman general, I'm sorry. That must have been a Freudian slip. Anybody got a glass of water back there? If you could arrange one, I'd appreciate that. I'm dry enough to spit cotton. Besides that, I'll smile so much here, being a Christian, you know, that my teeth have turned dry. Well, let's see if we can do this. Are you ready? All right. Is Caesar Lord?
Caesar Lord!
Oh, listen, you got the idea good. I like that. Is Caesar Lord?
Caesar Lord!
Is learning Lord?
Jesus Lord.
Is laughter Lord?
Jesus Lord.
Is liquor Lord?
Jesus Lord.
Is luxury Lord?
Jesus Lord.
Is lust Lord?
Jesus Lord.
Amen. Amen. I believe you got it figured out. Now hold on to that. Let's pray. Father, again tonight, I pray that the words of my mouth and the meditations of our hearts might be acceptable in your sight for Jesus' sake. Amen. Is Jesus really the Lord of your life? By definition, the word Lord means master, conqueror, captain, chief, head, monarch, victor, boss. You and I really know tonight whether or not Jesus Christ is running our lives. Of all creation, we are the only ones who have a choice as to whether or not we will obey the will of God. The stars in orbit obey Him perfectly. Not a one of them has ever yet decided to go off and do its own thing. The birds migrate on a certain schedule without fail. The cycles of nature are consistent and constant. The physical laws of the universe remain immutable, or else the astronauts could not have remained in space as they did. They had to depend upon the absoluteness of the physical laws which put them up there to allow them to come back again. But we, as men and women, can decide for ourselves and somehow feel that we have the right to either accept or reject His Lordship. Frankly, our track record is not too good. And you know, it may be that a part of the reason is that we have been satisfied and content, or contenting ourselves, rather, with the merely friendly, appealing Jesus instead of the strong, imperial, commanding Jesus. We somehow feel that when we embrace Christianity, we've done God a favor. We see this happen whenever a prominent athlete or an educator or a man of position or a man of wealth or an actor or an actress embraces his Christianity, and we say, "Oh, did you know that so-and-so has cast their vote for Jesus? Isn't that tremendous?" You know, no, as much as to say how grateful Jesus must be, this is a travesty on the truth. Christ does not court any man. And genuine Christianity does not consist merely of complimenting Christ as a genius or an artist or a poet or a teacher or a social reformer or anything else. It means bowing to Christ as commander. It means being ready to make His will our law, His command our joy. And at this very moment tonight, Jesus Christ is either Lord of our lives or He is not. We have either made the transfer of allegiance to Him or we have not. At this moment, you know whether you have ever made such an unconditional surrender to Jesus Christ or not. You know whether you're living your life for what you can get out of it or living your life to please Him. Tonight, I want to read two portions of Scripture, and I don't want you to look at them. Keep your Bibles where they are. I just want to read two portions to you. And then after having read these two portions, I want to share with you seven basic reasons why Jesus Christ should be the Lord of our lives. I read first from Colossians, the first chapter, starting with verse 15. I'm going to substitute the noun Christ for the pronouns in the translation. Listen. Christ is the image of the invisible God, the firstborn of every creature. For by Christ were all things created that are in heaven and that are in earth, visible and invisible, whether they be thrones or dominions or principalities or powers. All things were created by Christ and for Christ. And Christ is before all things. And by Christ all things consist. And Christ is the head of the body, the church, who is the beginning, the firstborn from the dead, that in all things Christ might have the preeminence. For it pleased the Father that in Christ should all fullness dwell. And having made peace through the blood of His cross by Christ, to reconcile all things unto Himself, whether they be things in earth or things in heaven, by Jesus. Then in the book of Philippians, in the second chapter, let this mind be in you which was also in Christ Jesus, who, being in the form of God, thought it not robbery to be equal with God, but made Himself of no reputation, and took upon Him the form of a servant, and was made in the likeness of men. And being found in fashion as a man, He humbled Himself, and became obedient unto death, even unto the death of the cross. Wherefore God also hath highly exalted Him, and given Him a name which is above every name, that at the name of Jesus every knee should bow, of things in heaven, and things in earth, and things under the earth, and that every tongue should confess that Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of God the Father. In the first place, Jesus Christ should be Lord of our lives because God said He was. In Acts 2, verse 36, the Bible says, "Therefore let all the house of Israel know assuredly that God hath made that same Jesus which ye have crucified both Lord and Christ." Secondly, He has the right to be Lord of our life by the right of creation. We just read in Colossians where it said that all things were created by Him and for Him. Thirdly, He should be Lord of our lives because He bought us. As it says in 1 Corinthians 6:19-20, what? Know ye not that your body is the temple of the Holy Ghost, which ye have of God, and ye are not your own, for ye are bought with a price? Therefore glorify God in your body and in your spirit, which are God's. Fourthly, Jesus should be Lord of our lives because He said He was. In John 13:13, Jesus said, ye call me Lord, and ye say, well, for so I am. He said, that's right. You call me Lord, and that's exactly right, because that's who I am. Fifthly, He should be Lord of our lives because of His destiny. As we just read, the day is coming, the Bible says, when every knee shall bow and every tongue shall confess that He is Lord, to the glory of God the Father. And when that day comes, it's going to be seen and heard in heaven. Dear old Noah, Moses, Abraham, Isaiah, Ezekiel, Daniel, and all the rest will join in the chorus, Jesus is Lord. That's right. And it's going to be seen and heard in earth. When that day comes, all the rulers of the earth, all the rich men around the world, all the potentates and princes, they're going to call Him Lord. That's right. He's going to be heard and seen in hell too. Did you know that? Satan will bow his head and will finally admit it. Jesus is Lord. Tom Paine, that world-renowned atheist, will join in a chorus with Hitler and Voltaire and Stalin. And hell's sad choir will shout, Jesus is Lord. Amen. Praise God. Sixthly, He should be Lord because His plan is best. You know, somehow we've come to believe either that God does not have our best interest at heart, or if He does have our best interest at heart, He doesn't know what's best for us. And yet in Jeremiah 29:11, we hear God saying this, I know the thoughts that I have toward you, saith the Lord, thoughts of peace and not of evil, to give you an expected end. He said, I've got your best interest at heart. I'm here to help you. I'm not here to hurt you. Ephesians 1:8 in the Living Bible, it says, and God has showered down upon us the riches of His grace, for how well He understands us and knows what is best for us at all times. That's right. Not only does He have our best interests at heart, man, He knows what's best for us. Makes sense for Jesus to be Lord. Somehow we got the mistaken idea that if we make Him Lord of our lives, He's going to take all our goodies away and make us miserable. He's going to send us up to the upper reaches of the Amazon reviewing verses riding on a mule. Don't you believe that? In the not very distant past, the lady came through a very traumatic experience in Oklahoma. Terrible divorce. And she left Oklahoma and moved to Florida to get away from her ex-husband. She had just become a Christian. She got down in Florida and got to teach in school and began to run the way of the world. And the longer she stayed, the further out of fellowship she got. No fellowship. Miserable. And finally, she got down to the end of her rope, moved halfway back across the country to Oklahoma to get some fellowship. She moved back, and for 2 months, she looked for a job. She applied in all the school systems around Oklahoma City, answered every want ad that looked like it was a thing she could fill, and nothing happened. 2 months. 3 days before school was to start, that night she couldn't sleep. She paced up and down the floor of her apartment, mad at God, crying out to God, blaming Him. Her resources were dwindling. She didn't have a job, didn't know what to do. Pitiful situation. And then school started. And on the day that school started, at 4 o'clock in the afternoon, the principal of the school closest to her apartment called her and said, I've got a job for you if you want it. You can go to work in the morning. Praise God. You know, Jesus is Lord. Seventhly, we should allow Him to be the Lord of our lives because of the circumstances of life. You know, at best, life is not a bowl of cherries, or have you figured that out? I just wondered if God might have written that little song, you know, I beg your pardon, I didn't promise you no rose garden, you know, that. But in all the circumstances of life, we should say, Jesus is Lord. We should say it in times of joy. Jesus is Lord. Lest we be sidetracked with lesser joys, preoccupied with lesser gladness, caught up more with the blessings instead of with the blesser. Acknowledge Him as Lord. Say it in times of sadness. Jesus is Lord. The other day I visited a friend in the hospital. Just a year before I visited him in that same hospital, and they had cut out a lung. Here he was back in the hospital again, 48 years of age. I'd had the privilege of having him and his wife in Bible study for a couple of years, some years ago. I went up to visit him. And there he was, stretched out on that bed. His legs about that big round. Big old boy. Oxygen poured into his nose. Couldn't even talk. And I stood there and I looked at him and I said, Homer, can you hear me? I said, Homer, are you in pain? I said, Homer, is your heart at rest? Laid my hand over on his leg and I prayed for him and thanked God for his life. I got ready to catch a plane the next morning at 8 o'clock, Seattle, Washington. I had a call from my wife. Homer died at 6:15 that morning. What do? In times of sadness, I'll tell you what you do. Say, Jesus is Lord. These times are but for a moment. Real joy comes in the morning. I told his sweet wife, I said, listen, Homer's in better shape than either one of us. And that's right, too. You know, man, the Bible says that God will wipe away all tears from their eyes. There'll be no more death, neither sorrow nor crying, no more pain, for those things have passed away. He's in better shape than we are. One of these days, with the grace of God, I'm going to go see him. When the death shadow steals over our homes, is there a more glorious fact? The loved one's gone. Chair's vacant. Family circle's broken. Just a few months ago, I had a dear lady in my study. Her brother, who was a medical doctor, relatively young man, died down in Austin, Texas. Seemed to be a suicide. They went down and began to investigate and thought, well, maybe it was murder. So they began to try and find out what the situation was, and they haven't figured it out yet. But I went to the funeral, and I saw the sadness. I saw the bereavement. But you know where the hope was? The hope was that when he was younger, he had preached the unsearchable riches of Christ, even though in later years, as he developed in the medical profession, he'd gotten further and further away from God. In times of bereavement, beloved, there's no place to go except to believe that Jesus is Lord. I've always been sort of an admirer of the disciples of John the Baptist. Do you remember what happened when Herod had his daughter by marriage dance for his boys, you know, and she pleased him so that he said, I'll give you anything you want up to half the kingdom. So she went to her mama, Herodias, and said, what shall I ask for? And asked for the head of John the Baptist on a platter. And Herod didn't want to do it, but man, he did. Had his head cut off, you know, there in prison, brought it up and gave it to her, and she gave it to her mama. But did you ever notice what the disciples of John did? It says they went and told Jesus. That's it. I'll tell you, when the bottom falls out and the roof caves in, there's no place else to go. You know, go tell Jesus. Hearts are longing and crushed, but still Jesus is Lord. Say it in time of pressure. You know, Jesus is Lord. When the work seems too tough, the pressure of time is bearing in upon you, when you're emotionally taut as a bowstring and you feel like any moment you're going to pop, ask yourself this question. Who is He? The answer is, why, He's Lord. Where is He? He's living in me. Praise God. Jesus is Lord. Let me ask you, is there any pressure outside of us that's greater than His power in us? No, man, no. Say it in times of success. Jesus is Lord. Has human applause deafened you? Have men told you how great you are? Watch out for that. Don't get to believing that stuff. I'll tell you how you can ruin any Christian friend you've got. Two or three of you gang up and decide that every time you see him, you're going to tell him how great he is. What a great Christian he is. What a tremendous influence he is. How God is using him in a mighty way. And how all the whole ministry is open to him, you know. Just tell him that. Every time you see him, tell him that. It won't be long. No, he'll be gone. It won't be long. You know, he'll be gone. Mm-mm. Would men try and tell you how great you are and lift you up to heaven, crown you Lord? Oh, listen, refuse it. Hand the crown to him. Beware. The Bible says that our Lord is one God, and he is a jealous God, and his glory will he not give to another. Be careful you go to putting your hands on his glory. Fire may fall from heaven. Say it in times of decision. Jesus is Lord. You know, really, it's not your decision because your life doesn't belong to you. It belongs to him. Your life's not yours. He is the way. Walk in him. He is the truth. Believe in him. He is the life. Let him live that life out in your body. His decision's already been made. You just owe him your blind and complete obedience because he is the Lord of every decision. Say it in times of loneliness. Jesus is Lord. Do you sometimes feel alone even in the crowd? Uh-huh. Sometimes feel like you just don't quite fit? Oh, listen. That's the time you want to say Jesus is Lord. Family gone? Friends forsaking you? You may be lonely, but I've got news for you. You're not alone. Mm-mm. The Bible says, my Lord is near me at all times. He will never leave me or forsake me. If he is for me, who can be against me? Jesus is Lord. And say it in times of confusion. Jesus is Lord. You've lost your way. You no longer have any idea what is important and what is not. The old value systems are crumbling. The faith that you stood upon seems now not enough, and you don't understand anymore. You find that you can't really feel anything, that you're numb and bothered and baffled and bewildered. And oh, listen, that's the time you want to shout it. Jesus is Lord. Say it in times of crushing guilt. Do you ever suffer from that? Do you ever suffer from crushing guilt? Ooh, that's the time to say it. Jesus is Lord. Is your head bowed down low in sorrow, despair? You're self-discovered, self-dejected, self-disgusted. You've failed and you've fallen again. Oh, listen. Hear the words. Here they are. Say them again in your heart. Jesus is Lord. And say it in times of accusation. He is Lord, Counselor, Wonderful, the Mighty God, the Prince of Peace, the Everlasting Father, and He understands, and that's all that matters. Let them accuse. Let them rail. Let them shout. He understands, and that's all that matters. Let the devil rage and roar like a lion. Let him accuse and deceive the world, but the Savior is the King of Glory who tramples underfoot the young lion. He's the same yesterday, today, and forever. He hadn't changed. Jesus is Lord. Say it in times of overwhelming challenge. Jesus is Lord. Is the task too great? Is the sum too high? Is the strength demanded too much? Does it seem that there's no logical way that it can be done? Is the risk too risky and the challenge too challenging? Why, if it was not for the fact that the Lord was on our side, we would have fought in vain. Be ye steadfast, unmovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord, for as much as you know that your labor is not in vain in the Lord. And say it in times of trouble. Jesus is Lord. Say, listen, what I'm trying to tell you is that Jesus is Lord. That's what I'm trying to tell you, that Jesus is Lord. Disharmony reigns in the family. Misunderstandings prevail. Tempers flare. Communication is lost. Stalemate, deadlock. Gloom settles. Positions are taken. Battle lines are drawn. Threats are made. Panic threatens. Listen, Jesus is still Lord. Because where the Spirit of the Lord is, there's liberty. Say it when death threatens. Jesus is Lord. Doctor says your time is measured. The heart misses. The blood slows. The chest rattles. The body cools. And death comes near. You need not go under death. By the grace of God, you can go through it. He's still waiting on the other side. We are more than conquerors through Him who loved us. Do you remember His promise that whosoever liveth and believeth in Me shall never die? You remember that? And that though he die, yet shall he live? You remember that promise? He hadn't retracted that. That's the reason old Paul could say, you know, death, where is thy sting? Grave, where is thy victory? Jesus is Lord. And listen, beloved. Say it when the last trumpet sounds. Jesus is Lord. The graves are opening. There's a shout from heaven. And a trumpet sound. Do you hear it? The archangel's voice is heard. This must be the day. Jesus is Lord. His lordship is reasonable, real, and reliable. Accept His lordship, and God's plan will be perfected in your life. God's purposes will be carried out in your life, and God's power will be manifested in your life. This ought to be a good place to start, to make Jesus Lord. Is Caesar Lord?
Jesus is Lord.
Is Caesar Lord?
Jesus is Lord.
Is Caesar Lord?
Jesus.